T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pete Futek, College Football News in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pete, I read through this article. Well, I read the whole thing, not through it. I read all of it earlier today, and some interesting points here that you make. And let's start one of the biggest things that you suggest. You believe that for them to have a college football season, that every team essentially needs to go into a bubble to some degree, correct?
Yeah. I mean, hey, guys, what's going on?
How are you?
Yeah. It's a read the room sort of thing. It's not like sports are going right now. You know, they're trying to do the bubble thing with the NBA, and you're getting a lot of pushback. They're trying to figure out a safe way to do baseball, and there's a lot of pushback. Football is obviously an entirely different animal. You can't play this game social distancing in any way, shape, or form. You can't have guidelines. The only way this is going to fly is that everyone on the field has to be tested negative, because you can't just kind of go half-assed on it and just kind of like, well, we're going to not huddle up here. We're not going to meet here. We're not going to block like this or tack like that. No, you got to go full force, obviously, or else people get hurt or there's other problems. So you got to have everyone who's negative. And so unless you're prepared to shut down a season or something, which the logistics of that become a disaster if right before the night of a game or something, a few players on one team test positive, then the only way to do this is just put them into an athletic dorm, all players and coaches. Look, college undergrads aren't going to be on campus anyway. Everyone's going to be doing all their school remotely. So if you're going to do that, then might as well lock them down into a college athletic dorm room, do nothing but play sports, play football, and do college for 3 months. Basically, it's 4 if you want to count August as a time to practice up. It's going to go by in a snap. It's not for forever. It's not permanent. It would just be a 4-month run where you do nothing but play college football, practice, and take classes online, and then it's over, and then you go back around doing other things. Anything other than that opens up the opportunity for a couple of positive cases, which then basically shuts down the team, which shuts down the game that's about to come up, which shuts down the teams that they just played over the previous few weeks, and it just goes spiraling from there.
You know, Pete.
So, go ahead, Bull. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. What I was going to say is the only. I hear what you're saying, and in theory, I agree with you. The problem is, I mean, this obviously it's very complicated. The problem, though, in the end is, you know, you say kids are not going to be in school, but I don't know that that's going to be the case at every school. That's going to be a state-by-state thing. It's going to be a school-by-school thing, right? I mean, just like in the country, some people are taking this more seriously than others. Every state is a microcosm of the general population. There's going to be mixed on that, and we're going to see that. And so if I go to a school that, well, you got to go to class, then that's going to be a lot harder. I mean, that is really tricky to actually put in practice.
Exactly. But the one problem is the worst possible idea on the entire planet Earth right now is to take a mid-sized to smallish American city and take thousands of tens of thousands
Agreed.
Of people from all over the world and bring them into one spot.
No doubt.
So what's going to happen is, like you said, it's not everywhere. And so the key to this whole thing is going to have to be flexibility. And I just tweeted out a few minutes ago, look, all 103 players at Notre Dame just tested negative. They just did the latest round of tests at Michigan. They were all negative except for the 2 people who were positive from tests weeks ago. Okay, you too. Get out there and go. Like, go play. Like, that's kind of what this is going to have to be, because the idea of saying, well, we're going to have a regular season like normal with the schedule that's laid out, not going to happen, because right now you want to try figuring out college football in, I don't know, Texas, Arizona. They just shut down the Texas State Fair. You know, right now Florida's a mess. All the SEC states are a mess. The Big Ten states aren't really that bad. So maybe that you got to have a, if you see a window that's right there and all of a sudden, wait, all these players on like Indiana just tested negative. Okay, Indiana, let's go. Indiana and Wisconsin, test Wisconsin. That's the opening of the Big Ten season. Guys, get out there and play. So it's going to have to be really, really flexible. And I think at the end of the day, and this is just a guess, because there's no Roger Goodell, there's no centralized area of this because the NCAA wants nothing to do with this in terms of liability, I think it's going to come down to a conference-by-conference thing where the Pac-12 is going to be like, look, we're going to have our standards and practices and guidelines, and we're going to have an 11-game Pac-12 season. Then the Big Ten's going to be like, look, SEC states, you guys are a mess, but we kind of have it in Ohio and Michigan and Illinois at the moment. So we're going to have a only Big Ten conference only season. And it's going to be different. It's going to be weird. And, you know, I think for one season, like football-wise, I think it could be kind of fun.
Yes.
But again, it's just get through this and let's see what happens in 2021.
Do you think that there will be a playoff? Like, if we have conferences that play just a conference-only season, will it just be, hey, we'll just have a Big Ten champ, SEC champ, and then we just move on to 2021, or will we have a playoff?
Well, it's about time to put this committee to work. I mean, it's basically so far, figuring out the top four hasn't been that hard. It's like, okay, let's take the four best Power Five conference champs, and it's been pretty cut and dry outside of a little bit of a slight argument here or there. But all right, we got it. So there you go. Let's say it's 50 of the 130 college football programs are going. Okay, there's your pool. All right, committee, you guys are supposed to be the experts here. Come up with the four best out of that, and there's your college football playoff. But the other thing to remember, too, is the one massive X factor in all this, and not to get political in any way, is college football playoff. You're talking the end of 2020, early 2021. There's going to be an election. We don't know how things are going to quite look from a standards and practices point at that point of our world. And we don't know how this is going to be politicized. I think it's going to be one of the fascinating things to come up is going to be how college football is in the political world, because it is a massive, massive PR positive and bump if there's college football being played this year for everyone who's currently in charge, and especially in the football mad states. But if it's the end of October and the first week in November, and when LSU and Alabama are supposed to go and there's no college football, that's going to be just a bad, bad look for anyone who's currently in office.
Yeah, I hope we have it. You know, we'll see.
Sure.
I keep coming back to this, and it's the dollars, right? I mean, there's so much money at stake here. I can't imagine us, you know, it's not, I mean, not to diminish the pandemic. It's real. We get that. But, you know, for the young players, you know, that are testing positive, most of them are fine, probably going to be fine. Are we going to push through because of the money and have some of a season because of that? Or is it possible that they just shut it down?
The problem is we don't know. I mean, there's studies coming out now that the problem is with the young people who are getting it, they're finding out even if the asymptomatic kids have lung damage. If I've got NFL dreams, not a chance am I doing anything but leaving my basement right now. Because if you get this, and you're an elite athlete, and your lung capacity is diminished by, 10% or so, that might be the difference between being an NFL player and not. You know, so the problem is we don't know. I mean, I have a different attitude to your direct point between college football and the pros. The pros have agents. They have a players' union. They have representation. They have people looking out for their best interests. So you know that if you're going out there as an NFL player, someone who is getting paid a lot of money to look after you somehow figured out that this is okay for you to go out there. College football players don't have that. So that's a little bit of an issue I have in kind of a, hey, that's someone's son sort of a way. I don't know. I'm not 1,000% certain that these guys are going to be okay and that they're going to be totally fine. And heaven forbid a player goes out there, gets COVID-19 and dies. That would be the scandal of all scandals. Like, we don't know. So to me, again, the only way this works is if everyone is on that field on a given Saturday has been tested as close to as possible as negative. Anything short of that, and then you run into a whole slew of problems.
What do you do if someone tests positive day of the game?
That's it. Can't play. The team can't. And that's the problem. It shuts in. It's not a alarmist thing, and I always get the, oh, you're just kind of peddling all the fear porn that's going out there. The reality of what's going on is when people get this thing, things shut down. And that's what we're dealing with. So if someone gets it the day of the game, that team doesn't play. And that's the, and not, again, not only does that team not play, but now you got to see who the team played the week before. And that team's going to have to test and be fine. And everyone they've come in contact the week before, that's going to have to test and be fine. And then what do? Do you quarantine the entire team for 14 days? Like, what happens to the next week's game and the next week's game after that? And that's going to happen unless you just say, look, we're going to go. And there was a great 30 for 30 on the Soviet hockey machine that was on this last weekend. And they said, look, we did nothing. We had to sit in our army barracks for 11 months out of the year. All we did was hockey and practice and play games and eat. That's really all we did. Well, you're just talking for 4 months. It's basically what you have to do to college kids who probably are going to be locked down anyway if they're going to be taking classes remotely.
We're talking with Pete Fucek, College Football News. Pete, I don't know. I mean, you may be right, and I don't know what the testing is going to look like, right? It's kind of crazy, but I don't think they're going to stop games if players test. If they're testing every player the morning of the game and a couple of players test positive, I think those guys get quarantined, and I think the game will go on, I think.
If I'm the coach of the other team, I'm not sending my team out there. Like, again, it's all bad. It all sucks. There's nothing. There's no positive answer.
It's inevitable that a player's going to test positive the day of the game.
Yeah,
it's going to happen. So then cancel the season.
Sir.
I didn't mean to cut you off. But it's going to happen many times this year. There's going to be players test positive day of the game. So that's the deal. So they're going to have to either accept it or just cancel the season.
Well, my one plan for my one chance at this is that you lock them all down. That's it. Yeah. I mean, it's bad. It's not good. But if you don't do that, again, to your point, what happens if it's the day before Alabama and Georgia? Georgia's got a juggernaut of a team, and we find out that three Alabama players have tested positive. If I'm Kirby Smart, I'm like, dude, I'm not screwing up my season by going out there. I don't know if the rest of this team is asymptomatic. I don't know what it takes a day or so to get the test back or anything. I'm not playing this game. I'm not risking the health of my players who have tested all healthy and done all the right things, which is why I kind of think, at the very least, this is going to be bunkered down on a conference-by-conference basis. Because if there's a standard guideline and protocol in each conference from the top, then you kind of know what you're dealing with. But if there are different sets of circumstances in Alabama compared to Michigan, compared to California, I think the whole non-conference thing is going bye-bye. So that's the way you kind of lock this down a little bit. So then, to your point, let's say a player does test positive. Okay, now we have a set standard of practices and protocols that says this is how we're going to handle this. But that's going to be different because, like you said, right now Ohio might be fine and Texas is a disaster. So how do you juggle, the two places? It's going to have to be on a school-by-school, case-by-case basis, and that's why I think it's going to lock down into the conferences.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like we talked about state by state, there's some people taking more seriously, some people less. I mean, we just had an umpire in baseball say, I don't think all these people have died for coronavirus. You know, these people calling it a hoax. So coaches are going to react differently. I think some coaches are going to react differently. I still think they'll play games if some guys have positive the morning of, but who knows? In the end, do you think the schedule will just be conferences, or could it be more regional, like where Ohio State would play some MAC schools, not even play a Nebraska or a Rutgers, something like that?
Yeah, it might be that. It might really be, hey, welcome to Bowling Green and Ohio and Miami University, and and keep it on a state-by-state basis where you kind of know. I think the key here is going to have to be flexibility, where if we know that, okay, hey, on this given Saturday, the Akron Zips had all players test negative. Okay, come on in. Let's go. Let's get on the field and let's play. It might have to be just that kind of crazy just to get college football. But then it goes back to your other point of money. Like, if you're not having fans in the stands, then why are you moving heaven and earth to do this? Well, for a lot of other reasons, but that's going to be a part of this thing too, because there's a lot of conference commissioners out there that are saying, hey, look, if we're not making as much money as we need off this, then why are we risking this all?
Pete, how much time do we have to make these decisions? And when do you think we'll know?
Now. I mean, it's got to happen. They got to figure this out instantly, because right now, if you've got an August game, it's practice time. You're getting everyone on campus. You're getting everyone fired up to do this already. So figure something out in terms of what's the protocol, what's the way to do this. And at the moment, they keep kind of like saying, well, we kind of hope this is going to work itself out. But no one has a plan to do this if it's not. So, obviously, I want a college football season. I business-wise and everything else, I need a college football season. But I just don't know how it's going to happen unless they do something drastic and dramatic. And I do think, and to be positive here, I do think greed and self-need is going to, once this really comes down to it, and they have to make a call one way or another, they're going to be like, okay, we're going to have to do this way. And then necessity is going to force them to do something different and drastic to figure out, hey, if we want a college football season at, you know, XYZ state, we're going to have to do things this way. And I think out of just sheer necessity, they're going to figure it out.
Pete, good stuff, man. Hopefully in a couple of months we'll be talking to you and we'll just be talking
we
about
are.
Games.
We're going to be talking part. About your number one ranked Buckeyes. Absolutely.
That's right. Let's hope so. Thanks, Pete.
Later, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.